my friend. Good morning. You are going to love what we're going to talk about this morning. You're going to really, really, really like this. I have worked. Oh, I need to make an announcement first. I forgot this. Patrick Mead became very ill last night and was in the hospital. His class at 11 o'clock is canceled. He's out of the hospital, but he's back at the hotel resting and going to need to stay over an extra night because he is recovering. So at 11 o'clock this morning in Central Park, where Patrick Mead would have been, Sarah Barton will be interviewing a couple named Richard and Ida from Uganda, and they are a spectacular couple. So I just want you to know that on your schedule, okay? For those of you that were headed to hear Patrick, he won't be there, but I tell you, God probably has something going on with the couple that Sarah Barton is going to interview in Richard and Ida. Now then, we have put together at Memorial a new video series to help churches have the confidence to reach out into the community. And I am as excited about this work that God has let us do of anything that I have ever done in my life. There are four segments in this video. They are 40 minutes in length each, so that you can use them in a Bible class on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. You can use them in a small group. It will so encourage your people that they will actually conclude that evangelism is fun. And I want you to just watch some clips as we go through this. The first thing that I want you to experience is, and to get into your mind and to others' minds, is that sometimes we just simply need to change our minds. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And regarding evangelism, one of the things that just simply needed to take place for me was that I needed to just change my mind. And that was to begin to believe that I could actually be effective in reaching out. And I think it's the same for many of you. So Wayne, could we see clip one for now, and then we'll be right back. When I was graduating from school, I was having to try out for various churches and handle finals at the same time while living in Dallas. It was very stressful. And the weekend before we were to take our finals, I was in Ohio trying out for a congregation under a lot of pressure there. I was on the plane flying back to Dallas. I was having to memorize 50 passages for one part of one test on the next day. I was very fatigued, extremely worn out, and under a lot of pressure. I landed in Dallas in time to go to church at my sponsoring congregation of White Rock Church of Christ, which had put me through school for free for 2 years, and they make this announcement. Tomorrow night, we'll be having a grounds cleanup work evening here at the building. Be here. We mean everybody. We want you to bring your shovels. We want you to bring your rakes. Everybody, we want you here. And I just felt so guilty. I just couldn't be there. I was so tired. I wanted to cry when I heard the announcement. So the next day I go to school and I write down the 50 passages I had just for one part of one test. I take the test. I go home. I am exhausted. I walk into the apartment and Mary says, Terry Birch Kinney called. He wants you to call right away. Birch Kinney's the deacon over the grounds. I said, Mary, I can't call Birch. I said, he's going to want me to go over there and work on the grounds, and I don't have time. I'm so tired. And I just went to rehearse through everything I had gone through. And she said, I know, but you need to call him. I said, I know. So I called him and said, Birch, this is Terry. Hi, Terry, how you doing? Well, Birch, I'm really tired. Birch, you just need to understand that I have just been through all of this, and I laid out everything I could think of to let him know why I was going to say eventually, no, I can't possibly be there to help work on the grounds. And I said, but why did you call, Birch? And he said, oh, I just wondered. He said, if you had a minute, I wanted to run by and pick you up and take you out to buy you a new suit. And I said, come ahead. I changed my mind. I was not that tired. You know what? I went out and looked at that new suit. I got a new suit. It was just awesome. It was fabulous. I totally changed my mind. I didn't mind giving my time there at all. And what we're going to do in this seminar of 100% natural evangelism is we're going to change minds. We're going to open up. We're going to see possibilities that maybe we never thought of and never realized that such could be true.
Now, one of the things that can happen with a video like this is that we can say to ourselves, I don't think I can change my mind because I don't feel like I'm professional. Terry is a professional paid person on the staff of a church, and he's worked at this for a long time, and so he's professional and I'm not. Now, I just want you to change your mind about that, because we don't have any professional soul winners. The only way that anybody reaches anyone is because of the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the generosity of our Father. Absolutely. Now, I want to encourage you about something in Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 4. You know the passage that talks about where I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We love that one. But it's the context that I really want to encourage you about today. It says in verse 11, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to get along, how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things. Now, that doing all things means I can do all things when I'm sharp, and I can also do all things when I'm klutzy. Do you get that? I can do all things. I can be content with the fact that I'm really clicking with the Spirit and with the people that I'm reaching. I'm really doing okay. And God, I'm really content with that. But I'm also just as content to be able to say I made an effort and it was just a miserable failure. And so I need you to know something really important about my work in reaching out. Wayne, could we see clip 2?
I must tell you, in this idea of 100% natural evangelism and 100% natural concepts specifically here, I fail. I need you to know that I don't know how to reach everybody, that I don't succeed with everyone I reach to. I need you to know that I fail. But the good news is that I try and I sow seed, and God works with it in ways that I think for the most part I'll never understand it or get to see it. So I just keep sowing the seed and keep watering and tilling and working the way that He said to do. But you need to know that I have sat in on studies and blown it. You need to know I have reached to people and said the wrong thing at the wrong time. You need to know that. Here's why I think you need to know it. In school, they would bring in really good-hearted men that would come in who were extremely effective in reaching to their neighbors. But I was so scared. They didn't encourage me. They made me feel worse. I know it wasn't supposed to work that way. The directors of the school certainly didn't bring them in for that purpose, but you got to understand me. I'm scared of me and what I might say or what I might not say. I feel like I don't know what to say, but anybody else could get it closer to being right than me. So they'd bring in a guy, and he ran a hardware store, and somebody'd come in and order an air conditioner. He'd sell them an air conditioner. He'd drive up in their new house they're building, and he'd baptize the husband and the wife and the neighbor man and his wife and the neighbor man and his wife and the and a whole church and a whole nation, and it just didn't fit with me. I couldn't do it. I could not do that. So it did not encourage me. It made me feel worse. They bring in another guy who really was effective at it. But he never did say to me that he failed. And so I assumed when I failed, there's just something wrong with me, and I was left out of the evangelistic wonder that goes on. It made me so sad because I was a preacher. And I didn't believe I'd ever... Listen to this. I didn't believe I would ever see anyone led to Jesus. Can you take that in?
Can you take that in? Do you get it that we absolutely have churches full of people that are frozen in their fear? And Rick just talked about that a minute ago, encouraging us to break out of that. And this video really takes our people into an arena that everyone's dreamed about being but didn't know that it actually meant them. Things go on when we're working with God and we begin to realize that He's the one that's doing the leading and the organizing and the designing, and it's so fun. I was so afraid. I was afraid. And the more that I heard of churches winning souls and preachers reaching out and teaching, and you had that one or two people in the church that they were really effective at it, it just made me so frustrated over myself. Because I wanted to be that, but I couldn't. And the harder I tried, the worse it got. But God seems to just have this knack that if we will co-work with Him, He will come through. And I had something happen to me in baseball camp one year where I have this ministry still going 25 years now with the St. Louis Cardinal Old Timers, where it was going to go one year. And I have a bubblegum card or two that I'd love to give out if you would like one. And if you'd want me to autograph it, ask me in front of a lot of people, okay? God just shows up. When we would never guess, we know what to do. Wayne, would you show clip 3 and let them see something here that's, I think, pretty neat about learning to just be flexible.
I was in camp one year and I had something happen to me that you just fly by the seat of your pants and so much stuff that goes on, and I really want to encourage you. You just walk into life and say, God, use me if you can. And I got to tell you, God, in the very beginning, I'm so clueless. But you said to water and sow, and that's what I'm going to do. And we're in camp. Kurt Flood says to me, hey, preach, come up to my room. I brought you some gifts. And so I just was so thrilled. And we go up to his room, and he opens up the suitcase, and I want you to have this, and I want you to have this. And the phone rings. And it's a man by the name of Orlando Cepeda, Hall of Famer. And he said, cha-cha. He said, you're in? He said, come down to my room. I got a friend I want you to meet. So Orlando comes down to his room. I just couldn't believe it that I'm sitting in this room with my hero, and another one walks in, and this big man, he was so big that in his career he was known as the Baby Bull. Kurt said, cha-cha, I want you to meet. This is Terry Rush, minister for the Church of Christ in Tulsa. This is Orlando Cepeda, Catholic. Orlando said, Buddhist. Kurt said, Orlando, don't say things like that. Terry, he's Catholic. Buddhist. He said, cha-cha, I'll stop it. He said, Terry, he's Catholic. Buddhist. I understand something Kurt doesn't get. Orlando's been in prison for a little bit, converted to Buddhism. Do you know that's the first time that I recall that I ever met a Buddhist? And do you know all of a sudden it occurred to me what to do to begin to reach to one? Do you know how you reach to a Buddhist? I'll tell you one way you do it. You become Buddhist yourself. The Word of God says it. Listen to this. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. It's the one text in the New Testament that talks about winning people. And so listen to what it says about it. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, though those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak. I'm telling you, He is showing us a great secret. He shows us how to fit in to our society, even though we're not a part of it, in order that we have an opportunity to win them. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So we're at the batting cages the very first day, and guess who my hitting coach is? But it's Orlando. So I stationed myself, because I learned a couple of camps earlier from Kurt not to bring things up of religion in front of other people. I went to the end of the line so that when they're done with their hitting participation in the batting cages, they move on to another station. I'm the last one. When I got done and Orlando worked with me with hitting, I said to him as I'm taking off the helmet and leaning the bat against the cage, Orlando, when you go to the Buddhist temple sometime this week, could I go with you? You would go with me? I said, yes. I love you. Tuesday, at this time, we go after camp. I said, let's go. He tears. You know why? Because I was interested in something that meant a lot to him, even though I didn't know what to do with it. So I went with him to the Buddhist temple. And I sat in the back while he worshiped his God that I felt was dead, in stronger terms than I had seen me worship my God that I thought was alive. And so I begin to see God working. And every time I run into Orlando Cepeda, the man bear hugs me because he loves me, because I became Buddhist with him one day.
Now, I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians 19 that I referred there that is really encouraging to people like me that are afraid. And people, I just got to tell you, I have been at this a long time, and I just still get afraid about so many things. It makes me extremely nervous to step up here at night and MC. I would rather just preach the sermon. I just tell you those things to keep encouraging you. We're all on the same ground of getting afraid. But I saw something in that passage that changed my effectiveness. It changed my attitude about reaching out. And that is in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 9, where it says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. Do you know one of the reasons that I was afraid to teach people and refused to teach people that wanted to study the Bible? I wouldn't do it. And the reason was I was afraid they would ask me something I didn't know. Now, that's everyone thinks that, I think. Everyone hits those zones. But do you know that today, that the thing that I look for first in studying with an individual is to find the moment as soon as I can where I can say to them, I don't know. And do you know why? Because there are people that want to know about God and they feel weak. They feel so weak they don't know how to say to anyone, I want to know God, but I don't know how to find Him. They're that weak. And He said to the weak, I became weak. And so when I'm with someone and I sense that they are just green and looking for Him, I will do my very best to slide right over beside them instead of coming at them like this. It's what He's doing in that text. You slide right over beside them and you become Buddhist for an hour so that you can win the Buddhist. And you slide right over beside the weak and you be weak together. And when they ask me something, and I mean I'm looking for the opportunity, I'm not thinking about what passage to go to. First, I'm trying to think about where I can let them know by hearing from me, I don't know. Do you know why that's powerful? Because they're not wanting to meet a know-it-all. They're not wanting to meet a library. They're wanting to meet a person that's like them, because they think if you're weak and you know God, maybe they could know Him too. So I want to tell you again that power is perfected in weakness. God is not lying, and it's a wonderful thing that goes on for us. Here's the next thing I want you to see, is that you simply sow seed. You know, seed isn't very heavy. It's just rather lightweight, and you just toss it into the wind and it just goes everywhere. You see dandelions in your yard, and you notice how easily they spread. And if you dig dandelions up, they'll multiply on you. You just sow seed and it just goes. And that's what I do. I just sow seed wherever I am. I walked up here last night and there were four people with little brooms, and they had on the little green vests, and they work here. And I'm walking up here to get ready for the evening, and they're sitting out there resting, and a couple of them smoking. And I'm on duty, and I see them, and I go over and I talk to them. And I didn't set up a Bible study with one of them. I never asked, but I walked away sure that they met someone that was at this place because they know a religious thing is going on, and that they were treated very specially, because you just sow seed. Wayne, could we see that next clip? It's just way too easy for us to go through life figuring out how we're going to do something major for God when He said, I just want you to do those little seed sowing things in the kingdom. We had a guy at Memorial that said to me one Sunday morning, he said, Terry, I've got three brothers up the road here on 11th Street that I just wish you'd stop in and say hi to them sometime. They have an automotive shop. Would you just go in and say hi? And I just got to tell you the truth. Not a lot of people are thrilled that the preacher runs by and says hi. That's just not a big deal on their agenda. But because I loved the brother that asked me, I said, I will. So I went up, I walked in, and here are these guys, and they're just good old boys, and they are certainly nice enough. And I said, hey, your brother told me to come by and said hi. And so they go, hi. And a couple of them small talk, but one of the brothers never said a word. Never said a word, just kind of nodded, very quiet. He was not obnoxious, just quiet. And so I stood around a little bit and said, hey, I just want to come by and say hi. Bye. A few weeks later, the one that went to Memorial Drive, he saw me and he said, hey, do you remember the quiet brother? And I said, I do. He said, he's dying of cancer. He has asked for you. Could you call mom and dad? He's staying with them, and would you go see him? And I said, I'd be glad to. So I called. And I said, this is Terry. And he said, oh, yes. FL's wanting you to see if maybe you could come talk to him. I said, I'd be right there. So I drove out the next morning. And here comes this skeleton of a man walking in a robe, hanging on him, carrying a coffee mug. And he walks in and he says, Terry, thank you so much for coming to see me. I'm in big trouble. And I said, well, friend, let's just see what we can do about it. We just sat and studied. And I buried F.L.K. Wood in June. And then I buried him again in July. Simply because one of ours said, would you go by and say hi? In an area that wasn't really looking for someone to come by and say hi that day. It's our God, people. So we can relax, because it's our God that's doing the work. And do we ever need to know it? Because we get so tied up in knots over being afraid.
And so when you are sowing seed, you just simply relax, people. You really do. And I was not groomed to be a relaxed kind of person. groomed to be extremely inferior. And so I've had to learn from him the things that really click, and they simply work. You sow seed and you really believe that God will work, but you sow so much seed you can't even remember where all your gardens and farms are. Now, I met this brother sitting down here just a minute ago that he's 70 years old, came over from Australia for his first time. He heard about the workshop and listened to some of the things on podcasts for the last couple of years, and he said that he wrote me, and I wrote him back. I'm just so glad that I did. But you just don't know where all it's going. And then on top of that, you want to know that everybody wants to know about God. They do. And that's why you've got to sow seed, because you see, they may not be wanting to know about God on your Tuesday night door knocking timetable. But it needs to be that message from the doctor. It needs to be that song that they heard that inspired them on his timing and not yours. So you sow the seed so that you're there ahead of time. I want to tell you that people are looking for God when you are clueless about what to do. Could we see the next clip? When I was first starting to preach, the big thing back then was, would anybody ever ask you to do a gospel meeting as a preacher? I am green, and here I've been doing it all these years, and I still feel so green, and I love that fact. But back in my early days, I was extremely green and very, very scared. So this church asked me 40 miles away, would you come hold a gospel meeting? Of course I would. Yes, I believe I'll have me a gospel meeting. Well, then some people at the congregation where I was preaching said, hey, you need to watch for Mona, because Mona is this young newlywed that's just fantastic, and no one can reach her, and maybe you could. And so now then I know, it's a little bitty church, a handful of people, maybe, I don't know if there were 40, 60. They have me preach on Sunday morning, and I'm just wowing them, saying absolutely nothing. And we have this carry-in dinner afterwards, and I see who Mona is, and I'm watching, and I'm going to ask Mona if I can have a Bible study, and y'all, I couldn't do it. I couldn't say the words. And so now then, the guilt, as we talked about in session one, is starting to come in on me. I'm the preacher. They asked me to watch for Mona. I found her. They are expecting something to go on. It must go on. And so I walked up to Mona and I wanted to say, would you study the Bible with me? And the words would not come out. And I asked her if she'd hand me some iced tea. Did she know where the forks were? And I moved right on. I ate my lunch, went to the car, and I'm sitting there going, you have got to go say the words. And they're starting to put up the picnic lunch and everything. And I'm going, you have got to say the words. And I couldn't do it. And finally I get out of the car. I thought, well, I can't go home and tell them that I wouldn't do it. So I go over to her and I walk up to her. I'm probably 27 years old at the time. And I stand there and I said to her, I took a deep breath and I said, Mona, I was just wondering if you want to study the Bible with me. You may not want to, but if you want to, I'd like to study the Bible with you. If you don't want to study the Bible with me, all you got to do is say you don't want to study the Bible with me and I'll understand. Or something like that. Because I knew she wouldn't want to study the Bible with me. And there I was embarrassed that I was asking her because... And she said, I'd love to. And I know I blinked. And now then, I'm in a huge bind. Because I don't know how to study the Bible with anybody. I don't know how. Phew. And as quick as I am, I said, hey, you wouldn't happen to have a good friend at church with you that would want to join in on us? And she said, yes, Ann would love it. I said, oh, great. I'll see you tomorrow at your house, 4:00. So now then, I'm driving home and I'm feeling really good because Ann is going to teach the Bible study and I'll take credit for it. And I'll tell. And so I get there at 4:00 and I'm excited to see what Ann's going to have to say. And so Ann's there and Mona's there and we're drinking iced tea. And I said, so Ann, how long have you been in the church? Oh, I'm not a member of the church. She said, my husband is. Oh, no. Oh, no. Do you know that I baptized both of those girls that week and I still don't know how? I said things to them.
I'm not sure where Ann is right now, where she lives or anything. Mona is an elder's wife in Illinois. And it's like you're unconscious going through this stuff. And I'm here to tell you that we do what he said to do, but we don't understand hardly anything about it. And we keep holding back going, when I understand and when I know more, then. No, you just do what he said and you try.
I just really want to encourage you that I still remember as if it were yesterday, sitting in my car, and I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get out. I couldn't walk up to her and ask her to study the Bible. I was just so afraid. I just need you to sense how frozen I really was as the preacher. And it so excites me. I told that story on video and still touches my heart. Because our God is just, he just keeps saying, I'll do more than you can imagine. And our people are so hungry to be set free, to be productive. And we can do it. There was this time that I wanted to reach to a person, and I was so afraid. Why is it that we always think that anything that's bad, we're going to approach it and make it worse? We feel like we're going to approach it and make it eternally, permanently wrong. I had one of those. And I share it with you just to encourage you about prayer. Because we are carrying on an interactive relationship with the invisible world, and they are peddling as fast as they can with us. They have not gone deaf. They hear us. They have not gone blind. They see us. The Father and the Son and the Spirit have not had their hearts grow cold. They are passionate with us. Wayne, would you show them the last clip?
There was a man in Illinois when I was preaching there, that a very famous man in the community, very wealthy man, that had been reared in the Church of Christ and left it long before I was ever converted. And so I knew about him. I'd done business with him. And when I moved there, I wanted to reach to him. But are you like me, where you always feel like whatever it is you would say in trying to draw someone back or lead them to Jesus, whatever you would say would be the wrong thing and would make it worse? And that's how I felt. And I would pray, God, would you help me? Would you help me reach Rod? Help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go see him. I don't know whether to write him. I don't know whether to call him. But my heart hurts for him. Would you help me reach him? I didn't do anything. I began to pray, God, would you signal me how it is you want me to reach him? Would you signal me? Should I call him? Should I go visit him? Should I write him? Give me a signal. God, could I tell you something? I won't know what the signal is. I mean, it's just, I just want to convey it to you the most backward approach coming out of me. I prayed about that man for 90 days. One day I'm in my office and the phone rings. This man says, Terry, this is Rod. You don't know it, but I left the church years ago. And I need your help. And I want to know, could you come to my house right now? And I said, I'll be there. And I hung up the phone and I said, God, that's a signal.
I really want to encourage you about your praying. because I prayed in Quincy, Illinois, repeatedly, God, let me reach thousands of people for you. Let me. Immediately after I began praying, that prayer Memorial Drive called and asked if I would interview with them, and I thanked them but told them no. I was living in Quincy, Illinois, and loving it there, and that's where God was going to use me. The next time that I was praying that prayer, I stopped in the middle of it, of reaching thousands of people, and thought, oh no, God, what if, are you meaning there? Because I meant here. And it was terribly difficult for me to pick up the phone and call Memorial Drive and say, this is Terry Rush, do you still want to talk to me? And they said yes. And I was ashamed of myself that I would leave Quincy and consider moving away. And we went into this meeting with the memorial elders. And before they said anything, I apologized. And I said, I wasted your time. I shouldn't have come. I can't move here. And the man that introduced me was sitting immediately to my right, and he looked at me and he said, if you were to move here, why would you? I said, if I thought he would use me to reach thousands of people from here instead of there, I'd have to move. And when we filmed, I knew we did it. I knew we reached the thousands through this. We tried to figure out how to distribute it and how to sell it and what to sell it for. And I started out, maybe we could sell it for $1,000. And you're nervous. You don't know whether to laugh or not. No, we tried to decide, do we sell that for $200? If to fly me in to do it, it would cost $400 for the airfare, so that would be a bargain. And then we said, no, maybe $100, and that's $25 per session. And we just kept working and working, because we want to win the whole world and we want the church to be able to use it. So there's 100% natural concepts in the first session, 100% natural vision in the second session, 100% natural methods in the third session, 100% natural plus, which is the involvement of the Holy Spirit in our evangelistic work, in the fourth session. They're available for $39.99 at booth 803. It's in your little catalog. It's listed under the very first thing listed, 100% natural evangelism. It's right near the registration tables. We made them at a price of $39.99, asking you if you would do this. Would you get your copy and for your congregation? But if you're mindful of a mission church that didn't get to make it this year, would you pick up a copy for them and send it to them? People together, and you'll be inspired by this in the video as you watch it all, together we will keep winning the world. That's what we're after. And it's just not terrifying in the least. It is so terrific because He is so gentle with us that it actually becomes our nature to win souls. You will become continually, perpetually, 100% natural. Thank you.